You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 28th of November 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, it is not just any old Thursday today, it is also Thanksgiving today. But because it is Thursday, of course, that means we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from RussJournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. Happy Thanksgiving to you. How are you?
You know, I had something witty to say, and I forgot it. It was very funny, though.
I'm sure it was. Well, yeah. That does make a change. I think that's a first. And this is a first, actually, that we're having a special Thanksgiving podcast today. In all the years I think that I've been making radio for, we've never actually made a special Thanksgiving podcast. So the chance to actually make one today, I'm very pleased to have. I think we do actually have lots of things to be thankful for. And I think it's worth looking at these things every so often and counting the things, counting your blessings. It's very easy to become depressed by what is going on around us. I really didn't have much trouble with coming up with a list of things that we could talk about that I'm thankful for. Did you have any problems getting a list together, Matt? Or did you find it pretty easy?
You know, when you suggested the idea, I kind of rolled my eyes at it. But then I started thinking about it. And I realized, you know, I don't think about this kind of stuff enough. Once I put my mind to it, it kind of flowed out, both personal things as well as political, you know, social things, very quickly. So initially, I overcame my resistance, and then it really came, it flowed. And I tend to wallow, especially the last few years, I tend to wallow in negativity, which is a terrible habit. And doing stuff like this is a way to break out of that. I think it's really important. I think most of our people are like that.
Well, I've been thinking about it all day. I've been sort of thinking of things that we can be thankful for. And I think, you know, the most important thing that we can be thankful for, I think, is our family. You know, that's the one thing that is truly yours, that can't be taken away from you. Your family will always be your family. And the older you get, the more you realize that they will always be there for you, because they are your family. You know, that saying, blood is thicker than water, that is really true. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are fairly young, and, you know, they might end up getting themselves into trouble at some point in their lives, and they'll realize that their family will still be there to back them. You know, you may fall out with them when you're young, you may fall out with your parents, but when it really matters, your family are usually there for you. I notice Andrew Anglin has mentioned this at the Daily Stormer today as well, the importance of family. And that got me to thinking on from that and thinking, you know, that's the way we first learn about nationalism. We learn that that's the way things are supposed to be. It's supposed to be a family. The family is supposed to be together in the home. The extension from that with nationalism is the nation is supposed to be together in its own home. And you can look around at the animal world, and you can look at creatures like predators, and they don't all hang out together. They may share the same ideas. They share the same ideas about eating, the same as we're told, oh, we share the same ideas and values as Muslims, so we should be living together. That's not how it works in the animal world. The predators don't all hang out together because they like hunting food. You know, the eagles stay with the eagles, the lions stay with the lions, the bears stay with the bears, and each race should be sticking with its own people. And it's just common sense, really. And I think all those ideas flow from just looking around at the family unit. So, you know, I know some people may have been brought up in adopted homes or whatever, but they have still got family. They've still got ancestors. Even these people that are born from test tubes, they've got ancestors, although, you know, part of what most people have has been stolen from them by doing that. But I do think everybody does have a family. And even if the immediate family haven't treated them well, there will be extended family, or there will be people in their ancestry that they can look at and see that they look like them, and they can think, well, those people back then, they may have had the same thoughts as me, and this is where I got my talent for this, or my talent from for that. And, you know, that is something that can never be taken away. So that would be my number one thing to be thankful for, is family, I think, Matt.
Well, as far as blood relations, I certainly can't agree. My family doesn't even know where I am. After the divorce, everyone turned their backs on me, which was a huge shock. Came out of nowhere, except for, of course, my son. Therefore, I had to look for family elsewhere. And I found it. And that was a minor miracle in and of itself. You know, I have people who are contacting me for, you know, as students, so to speak, and people who've assisted me and supporters and local friends and stuff like that who've more than filled that gap. And, and then, of course, the more abstract, you know, blood relations beyond just the immediate family. And my father was my biggest supporter. The growing up always backed me. Thank God I took from him rather than my mother, because he was 6'4", had all his hair, and was a good looking guy. Of course I took from him, and I passed that on to my son. But thank God I don't have to worry about, you know, obesity or losing my hair. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be George Costanza or anything like that. Where he died at 70, but you know, that's a big deal. And it really only takes one person. You don't need a whole bunch of people. It just takes that one person who's always going to stick by you. And then, you don't need anybody else. But, you know, when you don't have a blood family, and if you are optimistic about it, you can find family elsewhere. And many of us know exactly what I'm talking about, and we've done it.
Well, you mentioned there you had your father there, and he backed you, and now you're a father yourself, and you back your son. So, you know, the cycle continues. I get what you mean there about, you know, nationalists. There's a strong bond with nationalists. There's a brotherly bond with nationalists. You know, I would say it's not quite as thick as blood, but it's certainly stronger than it could ever be with multicultural peoples. I mean, the second one that we've got on our list here is our supporters and our listeners. I mean, the people that we make these podcasts for, that write to us, that come in the chat rooms, that donate to us, that make suggestions, that tell us when we're doing things right and point out when we're doing things wrong. I mean, none of this would be taking place if we didn't have supporters and listeners. I mean, particularly in your case, Matt, I know that you're very thankful for your supporters, because, you know, they enable you to financially keep doing what you're doing.
And that's a miracle. I was shocked when I first, you know, I was forced to ask for financial. I give everything away for free. And I did that for years and years and years. And then one day I couldn't, and they answered. And, this is what I mean. That was a miracle. I always underestimate the number of people who I've positively affected. That's a big deal. The fact that I did, and I keep saying this, everyone said that, you know, without a university or a think tank, you can't live the academic life. It's simply impossible. And thanks to the people who are listening to this, I proved them wrong. As I've said before, every dollar given to me is a virtual Molotov cocktail thrown through the window of the university teacher's lounge. And I love that image, and it's true to a great extent. They're jealous to a great extent that I have full independence and full faith of the people who support me, and they do it voluntarily, unlike the taxpayer or a university student where they're a captive audience. So that's been, if I had to narrow the thanks to one thing, it would absolutely be that. And I always underestimate, you know, the support that I have, and that's a huge deal. And I wouldn't have been able to do it without initially, you know, Matt Parrott and the TWP getting me out of my doldrums and to get back into broadcasting. And of course, you, who do all this work for free, and it's a lot of work. And I'd be very remiss if I didn't mention you. You're a big part of this.
Well, I'm thankful for discovering that I'm able to do it. You know, and I guess that's the same for you as well. I'm thankful for discovering that this is something that you can do. This is a way that we can contribute. I mean, that's what life is about, is producing things for your people and contributing to your people. And you find fulfillment in that, and you find contentment in doing that because you know that you've contributed. You know, you're not just making podcasts, but all people who create things. That's what we do as white people. We create things, and we're very lucky if we can discover the thing that we are good at creating, and other people enjoy it. You know, that's a great blessing to have that. I mean, part of what we do here, it's not just the people talking in the podcast, it's everybody else that's involved. I mean, we've got artists involved that make images up for us. We've got musicians that write intros and outros for us. We've got the radio hosts, and plus we've also got tech experts that are working there in the background that are working on all the coding and all that side of thing. So I'm very thankful that we've got people that have come forward that have talents like that, that have said, yes, we'd like to help. We'd like to get involved and do what we can as well. So, I mean, it's not just me that works on the production side of things. We've got others that do a lot of work as well. And, you know, I'd also like to, one person I'm very, very thankful for, in particular being a British nationalist myself, is Mark Collett. I mean, we don't really have anyone else in Britain of his stature that is speaking about racial issues, that has the drive that he has, that has the experience that he has, that's at exactly the right age that he is to start making political waves. That's the thing that I'm most thankful for this year, I think, as a British nationalist, is just thankful for having Mark Collett there. I mean, when I look at America, I can't think of a nationalist in America that is the equivalent. I can't really think of one elsewhere in other countries as well. I mean, I do feel that we in Britain are very, very blessed to have a nationalist like Mark. I don't think you know of him very well, Matt, but, you know, I just wanted to say that I have a lot of respect for Mark, and I'm very pleased to be supporting him and to have him working with us here at Radio Albion.
You know, I think one of the keys to, and we don't talk about this enough, a lot of our people do struggle psychologically because of the sense of alienation that they get from just being a part of this struggle. And we don't talk about the psychological toll that this takes on us, whether relative to jobs, romance, family, finance. And a lot of our people feel very much alone and alienated, and they begin to compensate in negative ways. I think that happens a lot. We don't talk about the psychological side to this thing. And my opinion is that the key to contentment is, as you said, to discover your vocation. There's got to be something out there that you can make a living from that's also socially useful, that you love to do. That one thing that if you didn't have it, your life wouldn't be worth living. When you find that thing, you have something to live for no matter what else is going on around you. That role, that knack, that thing that you develop, that you dive into with such fanaticism you can't think about anything else. You find that, and that's a wonderful feeling. So many people don't have it, or don't know what it is, don't even know how to look for it. Thank God I've found mine. And I dove into it like a fanatic. So whatever else is going on, whatever stability I have, I think to a great extent from a secular point of view, comes from that. And everyone has to find that one thing that they do and then focus on that and then figure out how to use that to contribute. That's a huge deal. I don't use the word happiness. That's not going to happen. But satisfaction and contentment, that can very much happen.
I think one of the reasons people are driven away from doing that is, you know, they're told that they should be avoiding work. You know, it's been put across by Hollywood and TV that, you know, you should be trying to win the lottery, doing the least amount of work possible. And you're not going to find something that you're good at doing unless you get stuck in and you work at it. I mean, you can find people working in shops, you can find mechanics, you can find people in all walks of life that actually love what they're doing and they really enjoy what they're doing. But it didn't come like that straight away. You know, they had to work hard at it first. It's like with musical instruments, when people first are learning to play a musical instrument, you know, it may sound terrible, but they put a lot of work in and eventually, you know, they can be an absolute virtuoso and the instrument can appear to be part of them, and that really does make a big difference. But it takes work. I mean, one of the things I should say is I'm very pleased to be working with the caliber of the hosts that we have here. Yourself, Matt, all the work that you do, and all the scholarly thoroughness that you bring to your podcast. Grandpa Lampshade with his comedic way of looking at things and making people laugh. Dennis Wise, you know, salt of the earth, real down to earth chap. Max Musson, who really knows his politics, has been involved in nationalism for 30 years, 40 years. I mean, we've got a really good, really high standards here, I think, at Radio Albion. That's part of one of the reasons why I wanted to change the name, because I thought we've got such high standards here. We've got such high quality content that we are putting out. We don't want to just limit it to a small group, because it would appeal to all sorts of people. Once they realize the sort of things that we're talking about and the level of analysis that there is there. So I'm very pleased to be working with the people that I am working with, and also looking around at what's going on in politics. I mean, there are a lot of inspirational people in politics that we can be thankful for. I mean, just off the top of my head, I can think of Viktor Orban and the Visegrad Bloc. I mean, just over the last few years, you think of the things that he's done. He's put up a fence. He's spoken against immigration. He's spoken against the replacement of whites. He's spoken against abortion. He's increasing white families, specifically white families in Hungary. He's speaking out against the attack on Christianity. I mean, just today, he's announced that Hungary will not be taking part in the Eurovision Song Contest because it just promotes homosexuality. I mean, this is the head of a European country that is speaking up like this for traditional values. So we got Matteo Salvini. I know he's not in office anymore. Hopefully he will be again soon. But just the fact that we have these people means that what they say gets in the news. And because it's in the news, it means that it's publicly acceptable to talk about. And then you can say, well, I support them. And that gives other people a chance to come forwards and say that they support them. I know you're particularly inspired by Putin and what's going on in Russia. Is there anything over there that you think we should be particularly thankful for, Matt?
Well, you know, I have a few radio shows on that topic. Some of our listeners might want to check it in my site. You know, some people, especially, you know, the kind of the amateurish type, they have the very immature point of view that the regime is so overwhelmingly powerful that there's no way there can be good people in office, or, you know, that are very influential. Putin has to be evil, not because they really know that, but because, well, he's the president of Russia. How can that possibly be? You can't have nothing. The regime is too powerful for that. They control everything. And they have this almost this godlike fear of the regime, which, by the way, is very much implanted in them. And that's the source of Abulia, that lethargy that comes from believing there's really nothing out there worth fighting for. No, the regime is weakening. Their economic foundation is weakening. You have great people in office in a few places. They're politicians. Politicians do stupid things. You know, you can't expect salvation from them. That doesn't come from men. Being thankful means that we realize that the regime is not all powerful. They make stupid mistakes. The very fact, like a General Park in South Korea, Hitler in Germany, or Putin in Russia, solely through National Socialist policies took these almost completely destroyed countries and rebuilt them into first world powerhouses in a few years. That is the ultimate inspiration. And they're all authoritarian, more or less, even though Putin was elected, with strong presidencies, strong executives that simply permitted the people the proper context and structure for them to work. And just like we talked about with the focus, the vocation, they realize that they certain areas that their country has an advantage in. And that's where investment should be targeted. You can't make everything. You can't be good at everything. So you focus the public money on a few things and really build a viable economy. And so what occurs for us psychologically also exists for countries. Not to say that autarky isn't a viable goal, but really only Americans and Russians could ever possibly hope to that. But smaller countries, they find out what it is that they do. Still, they still have a well-rounded economy, but everyone has something to contribute, and that's where the public money goes. But only a strong executive can do that. But the regime is weakening. You should be very happy about that. Banning stuff on Facebook and all this stuff, that doesn't come from a position of strength. The U.S. is surrendering to the Taliban. Wherever the U.S. fails, liberalism fails. Planned Parenthood fails. The feminists fail. That's what the U.S. military does. So the regime is not all powerful. And we need to be happy with some of these people who are in office. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to disappoint us. But we're no different. It's not all powerful. It is weakening. That's a great thing to bring up.
Well, one of the biggest planks of the regime, I guess you could call it, is the Holocaust. And I think who we can really be thankful for are the revisionist historians, particularly Carolyn Jaeger. I mean, we've been repeating Carolyn Jaeger's podcast, The Heretics Hour, for the last few months. I think there's about 6 years worth of podcasts there. We've just made our way through it. And there's so much original research in those podcasts and interviewing these brave revisionist historians who, some of whom have been sent to prison for asking questions. You know, you've got scientists there that have tested the amount of cyanide in places like Auschwitz. You've got experts on executing people like Fred Leuchter. Ernst Zundel, who spent a lot of time in prison for publishing these books that were exposing these lies that were told about the Holocaust. And I'm so thankful that we've got these people, and we've got people that are brave enough to speak up about it. People like Ursula Haverbeck, who's, I think she's 93. I think that's her 93rd birthday that she's just had. And she's had that birthday with imprisoned, but she's happy, and people are sending her flowers every day. She's been overwhelmed with flowers. The prisoner have been overwhelmed with flowers. You know, that's something to be thankful for, that we have her, and we have these revisionists, and we have people that have interviewed these revisionists and that have helped to get their information out there, because I doubt whether very many of them are sort of internet savvy, but there are people that have put websites up for them. When you could get this stuff on YouTube, there were people that were making all these YouTube documentaries that were exposing the lies about the Holocaust, and that lie now, I mean, it's falling down. It cannot stand for much longer. Whenever you see a mainstream article that talks about it, the comments underneath will be pointing out the fact that it's a lie, and particularly in the Russian media, if you look at RT and Sputnik, and you look at the comments that are in those comment sections whenever there's a story about the Holocaust, it seems like everybody that's reading those sites is now awake to those lies. I know that this year you got taken on by Russia Insider, didn't you, Matt? I mean, that was quite a big thing, wasn't it?
Well, it's not official. It's not like I have an official position there like I do with the Barnes Review. But Charles and I are friends. We get along. And they like my stuff. And I think there's really no outlet that I'm getting the exposure anywhere. I mean, they get, hundreds of thousands of hits a week there. And Charles is a very good, a very humble man. You mentioned the guy, I forget his name, from Great Britain, this great nationalist.
Mark.
In America, the last one we had was Willis Carter. And he was a big deal. He wasn't an intellect, but he was an organizer, And you mentioned Carolyn. I we used to argue all the time when I was at the Voice of Reason, but we spoke one day. I was a little harsh with her once, and I apologized for it. And now we're friends, and I love listening to her. Same thing for Deanna Spingola. You know, the average person just wants to be comfortable. They want to go along to get along. It's so hard psychologically to do what we do. We have been blessed with this gift that we don't care. we have an agenda far more powerful than our comfort. We all go into this knowing we're going to suffer. All of us would have been far wealthier and better off in the secular sense had we just lived that conformist life. But I want to tell our people now, we need to get along with one another. You know, I get along with everybody. There's not one person in our movement that I fight with. We can't rush to judgment. We have to understand that everyone's very flawed. We're messed up people. And it's not our fault, but we have to be very patient with one another. We're not going to agree on every little thing, but it doesn't mean they're evil. Stop yelling about everyone being an agent. This is, you know, you don't know that. You know, these wild accusations that 99% of the time simply aren't true. We need to learn to live with one another and be patient with one another, or else we're going to end up being patient with one another in the gulag. So that's extremely important. We have good people out there. We don't agree on every little thing. That doesn't mean we don't respect one another. And that's a huge flaw that we have that's got to change. So I'm thankful for these kind of people and the gift that we've all been given, that we put our comfort second, we put the truth first. And that's the most important thing today.
Well, I think the good thing about Russia Insider, I mean, you're pointing out there, he gets hundreds of thousands of hits. I mean, he goes into some dangerous territory, doesn't he? I mean, you're talking about the Jewish involvement in the killing of the Romanovs. I mean, that's mainstream now. Russia is investigating that. They're investigating the Jewish ritual slaughter of the Romanovs, much to the disgust of the Jews. But that's mainstream now, and that's all. All being exposed, and you know the revisionists have done all they can to encourage that sort of thing. So moving on from revisionism and sort of nationalist movement stuff, we can look at again at what's two big incidents that happened over the last couple of years. Few years, we had the Brexit vote, where we had 17 million people that voted to leave the EU, which was pretty much a proxy vote against immigration. Even though the country hasn't done that, what that showed us was that people support nationalism. When they get a chance to, they support it. That's what that vote was about. And then we got the Donald Trump vote. Once again, that was a vote to support nationalism. That was a vote against Hillary Clinton. That was a vote against liberalism. And the effect of that was the barriers of political correctness came crashing down, and Donald Trump exposed the BBC and CNN and all the rest of them for being fake news. I mean, that's mainstream now, the term fake news, and pointing out that these huge companies are telling lies. And regardless of, you know, what Trump has done while he's been in office, you can't take that away from him. And regardless of Britain still being within the EU, you can't take away the fact that all those people voted to leave, and what was deemed to be publicly acceptable to talk about has moved in our direction. You know, we can talk about these things a lot easier than it used to be. And both of those incidents are the reason for that. You know, I'm glad we got Donald Trump in office. I'm glad we had this Brexit vote. I mean, even though they haven't left the EU, what that's done is highlighted the perfidy of the politicians and the treason of the politicians and what lying scumbags they are. I mean, these guys are, you know, they have to have police escorts now, and they're terrified that they're going to get all these criticism and so-called death threats all the time. And the reason for that is because people can see what they are. And the reason for that is because they've let the public down. And, you know, they wouldn't have been put in that position if it hadn't been for this vote for Brexit. If it hadn't been for this vote for Trump, they would still be going along on the liberal path and covering everything up. And there wouldn't have been anything so extreme happening to point out their lies. Yeah, you know, we can be thankful for that every day. I mean, you get down, just think back at all those liberal tears when Donald Trump was elected into office. And nothing like that had ever happened before. I mean, that's the biggest encouraging thing I can think about, really, in the last 2 years. And I still do think back to Donald Trump being elected when I get depressed.
It's one of the few times that I underestimated the American population, or the British population for that matter. That's rare that happens. But given all the threats, I mean, we saw open threats in front of policemen and on TV cameras for Trump voters. If you continue to support him, we're going to kill you. We're going to burn this city down. which technically is a federal crime. And yet they voted for him anyway. We know that the regime was stuffing ballot boxes for Hillary. We know that the support for Hillary was minimal, even among the Democratic Party. Just Facebook likes, Twitter support. Donald Trump was 2 and 3 times her numbers. Donald Trump rallies were enormous. Hillary's were very small. So we know that he cleaned up with the popular vote, despite what the actual numbers say. So the fact that they got, now let the left scream. Even liberals now are talking about the ridiculous liberal bias of CNN and MSNBC and all the rest of them. But I do want to mention before I forget, we have guys in prison on both sides of the pond. And I haven't been good this way, and I'm going to change this. We need to send them books. We need to visit them. We need to put money in the commissary. Find out where these guys are. I'm talking with the mothers of the young guys from Charlottesville that are still in jail. Some of them are going to be there, I guess, for the rest of their lives. If nothing happens, we need to treasure the relative freedom that we have, because we know that if we were in prison, the life that we lead now would look like utopia. We need to support those guys because can you just imagine their psychological state right now, looking at a lifetime in prison for defending themselves? So we need to do that for some of these guys, and in England and in the U.S., whatever country we're in, we know our people are being thrown in prison all over the place.
Well, we do have a list of political prisoners at Radio Albion. There's some American ones on there, some German ones on there. The majority of them are British, and I do encourage people to send them Christmas cards, at least just send them a Christmas card. I try to send all of them a Christmas card every year for the last few years. I mean, even that's the least that people can do is to send them a Christmas card. A couple of other things I've got here finally on the list. I think we can be thankful that Hitler showed what could be done with a nationalist administration. I mean, you can look at that and look at the economic miracle. You can look at all the things that he was actually able to achieve, and you can say, well, you know, that's what could be achieved. But we won't be able to have it because we live in a corrupt world. I mean, the fact that Hitler didn't succeed, that sort of says to me, well, you know, this shows us this is a fallen world. There's more to life than this. If this was all there is, then Hitler would have won. So, you know, there's obviously something there beyond this, and that encourages me in my belief in God and obviously my belief in Christianity. And finally here, we got one final thing to be thankful for, and this goes for both myself and you, Matt. We're both thankful for not being fat and for having good genes. And you can't say better than having good genes, I think. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow, unfortunately, on my own. Grandpa Lampshade is away for Thanksgiving. So until then, God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.